This is a great crowd today. I'm proud of you, church. We have getting these pews filled back up, and it looks great. And so you keep coming. It's great to have you with us today. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us and you're looking for a church home, hey, you don't have to visit anymore. This is a place for you. There are a lot of folks here that love hard. There are a lot of folks here that will love you hard. They love the Lord hard. And I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, Steve, for leading us in our awesome singing today. Thank you to Seth, who came and read one of my favorite verses. Madeline asked me, she was such a special treat on this long trip that we were on. And there were some moments of some hurt and some downtime. And so along the way, she was looking through her Bible trying to read scriptures to encourage. And she asked me what my favorite one was. And that kind of put me on the spot, you know. I don't know. I have a lot of them. This is one of them, though. I didn't pick Galatians 2:20, but boy, isn't that a great verse. The Apostle Paul writing there talking about how he was crucified with Christ, but it's Christ who lives in him. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But I appreciate Seth reading it. I appreciate those who led us in prayer, those George's words over the Lord's Supper. This place is special, and I love it very much, and I love you very much. In fact, today it's so special that we have somebody who's been visiting with us. That they decided, just like I said earlier, visitors, if you've been visiting, you're looking for a church home, you don't have to look any further. They said, hey, we're ready. We're ready to place our membership here. This young lady is very near and dear to our Mobile Christian family. She's very near and dear to my own daughter, who has her as a teacher. She's doing a great job. This is her second year at Mobile Christian. She is someone who said to me last week she appreciates very much the way this church family has loved her and helped her and encouraged her. And I appreciate you, church, for doing that. When you're away from family, that's hard. So the church has to be her family. But I just want you to know that I don't like to embarrass people. So I'm going to ask Joseph McDonald to stand up. Do y'all see Joseph? Do you see Joseph smiling a lot more lately? You know, I don't like to embarrass anybody. But Miss Victoria McDaniel wants to place her membership with us. Thank you very much. We're very happy to have you here. And they make a good-looking couple. They really do. I'm proud of them. Thank you very much. She is precious. Our Joseph is precious. And my daughter loves your class, and I appreciate all the bonus points you'll give her. So it is great to have Victoria with us, and she is doing great things at Mobile Christian School. She really is. What a blessing it is. But church, sometimes the biggest obstacle in our own lives in trying to move forward spiritually is the person in the mirror. We get in our own way. Sometimes we trip our own selves, we make our own selves fall, or just because of our own stubbornness and selfishness, we are unwilling to get out of the way. Today I want to talk about moving forward despite the person in the mirror, despite ourselves. I want you to join me in an Old Testament passage, Joshua chapter 1, please. I'm sorry, Joshua chapter 6. We'll look at verses 1 and following. Turn to Joshua chapter. You know what? I wrote that down wrong. In fact, I believe it's Joshua 7. I wrote Joshua 1, and it's Joshua 7. Turn to Joshua chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 1. Boy, I tell you, I'm in my own way up here already. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. Now let me pause for a moment right there. You're going to know this story if you know any Old Testament, been around the church and grew up in Sunday school. You know what happened in Joshua 6. They had this great victory, didn't they? Over this major fortified city. You remember God leads Joshua and He leads Israel finally across the Jordan River into the promised land. Now He's told Joshua, everywhere your footsteps, everywhere you go, it is going to be victorious. Stay in the Word, do not depart from it, all those things. Be strong and courageous. Well, along the way, they come to this major city, Jericho. And it's fortified. And you recall what they did. They marched around. The God's plan was a little bit bizarre, maybe, but it was His plan, and they followed it. They marched around the city quietly once a day for 6 straight days. And on day 7, you remember what they did. They did 7, and on that 7th one, they made all the noise, and all of a sudden, those walls fell. Miraculously fell. God delivered the enemies. They took their fortification away. They go in. We don't tell this part of VBS. And annihilate everybody in the city, and they conquer the city, right? They go in, it's a major victory for Israel. But along the way, you remember what God said? He said, don't take any of the accursed things. Don't take any of the gold and silver. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there. For the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up from the people. But they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men. Right off the bat. 36 families without fathers. Without husbands. For they chased them from before the gate as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the children of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. I shared this story with our football team a few weeks ago about getting rid of selfishness. What does selfishness do? What does self do? If we can't get out of our own way, if we can't get out of our own head, if we're Lord of our own lives, what does it do? It does a lot of things like Achan did. All the people's hearts were strong. They had gone to Jericho and they had overcome this great city. They had seen God's plan at work, and it was a beautiful plan. And it worked to a perfect T, right? But Achan just saw some gold. And he saw some things that were shiny. And he said, I must have those. I can hide them. Nobody will miss them. I need it for me. I need it for my family. I want a new shiny chariot. I don't know what he wanted, but he had to have that gold. And so he took it. Now Israel is stronger than ever. They're feeling so great. And they don't realize this, but they said, hey, the spies said, we don't need to send the whole army. No, let's not wear everybody out. He said, Ai's not big. We'll kill them. We'll destroy them. Let's just send about 3,000. And right off the bat, because of Achan's selfishness, 36 families were affected. 36 men were killed just like that because of selfishness. Joshua, as the people's hearts are melting like water, Joshua tears his clothes, gets on the ground, and he's mourning, why, God, why? God tells him, get up. Today, folks, if there's selfishness in the camp, if there's selfishness in our lives, if there's selfishness in our hearts, we are being held back. And we've got to let it go. Now they took Achan, and they took Achan's family, and they stoned them, burned them, and buried them. Today, we don't have to stone anybody, nor burn, nor bury, but we do got to cast it on Jesus. Today, as we get into this lesson, I will talk about things that will help us very practically overcome the selfishness and things that we may struggle with. But let it be known today that selfishness can defeat an army. Even if God is the God of the majority of them. Today, we as a church must collectively walk arm in arm, united, not selfish, but sacrificial. Not selfish, but selfless. We must decrease, and He must increase. There must be less of us and more of Thee. We must decide right now. What will we choose? Turn in your Bibles now to another Old Testament book, the book of Deuteronomy. I love this passage. I shared it, I believe, on a Wednesday night just a few weeks ago. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, there is a decision that has to be made. What decision will you choose? Let's begin in verse 15. See, I have set before you today, the words of Moses now, life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. Did you hear what He said? He said, I command you today to love God, to put God first, to get rid of the selfishness. If you get rid of the selfishness, if you will let it go and you move forward loving God, serving God, here's what's going to happen. You will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart, that's selfish, right? If it's my heart, it's my heart. Your heart, it's your heart. It better be Jesus Christ's heart. It better be God's heart today. But if it's our heart right now, if it turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now, I want you to know, a lot of people chose death. It doesn't make sense, does it? Moses lays out this plan. He says, God's going to bless you. Your descendants are going to be blessed. Everything's going to be great. Just choose to love Him. To put everything you have into Him. But if your heart doesn't belong to God and it's still your heart, and you lust after other gods and lust after other lands and lust after other things, then guess what? You will perish. Therefore, choose life, He said. That was a long time ago, I know. And it was written to a group of people that were trying to become a great nation so that Jesus Christ could come into this world. But listen to me, folks, that same principle is still true today. What will we choose? Somebody has a gun to our head and says, do you want to live? We say, yes, right? But this is our soul. Today, if you couldn't let it go, then you know what you're saying? You say, I choose death. I choose to perish. I choose hell. Oh, Terry, that little thing, that's not going to hold me back. The rich young ruler, he said, there's one thing you lack. What if that one thing holds on to us so much that we can't completely let go? That's selfish. And we got to get that out of the way. So practically then, how do we do it? I don't want to give you some hard formula today. I don't want that myself. Thanks be to God, He didn't give us that. He gave us very practical things to do. Number one. Oh, that again, Terry? Terry, how many times are you going to talk about studying our Bibles? Probably until I can't breathe anymore. Study our Bibles. Listen to me, folks. We can all, at this point, probably quote Romans 10:17. Faith comes by, and hearing by the... See, that's pretty good. Pretty good, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What does that mean? In order to grow my faith, I must be in the Word of God. Studying our Bibles is the best way I know to rid selfishness. Because when I open my Bible and I read the pages of this book, there's sacrifice on every page. Oh yeah, there's stories of people that held on to it. There are stories of people that struggled with it. There are stories of people that couldn't let go of self, couldn't let go of things, couldn't let go of foreign gods. You know what happened? Just like Moses said, they choose death and they perished. But when you read about all the men and the women who did these heroic things, they sacrificed so much so that today we can warm by those fires. And we can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in a community of lost people. If you go back now to Joshua 1. Joshua 1 verse 8, the book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. That's what I talked about. Going into Joshua 6, going into Jericho, God said, meditate in it. Be in the Word, right? Be in the law. Today we'd say, be in the book, be in the Bible. But they had to be in the law. Okay? As long as you stay in the law and do according to all that is written in it, you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. I like that formula. Choose life. Choose selflessness, not selfishness. Choose my Word. But note with me this, that it's right after this that they go to Jericho. And it's right after this that Achan takes from the spoil. And it's right after this that 36 lives are tragically lost at Ai. So you know what Joshua does? He calls on God to take care of the problem. And they do, and they go and defeat Ai. It's after this that these words are recorded. Joshua 8 now, beginning in 34. And afterward, you know what Joshua did? He read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Joshua said, I got a remedy for this. God told him, get up. He said, you get up. There's sin in your camp. There's selfishness in your camp. What did James say? Why does Terry keep calling that selfishness? Because James said it this way, we are drawn away by our own lust. That's selfish, right? That is our own desires. That is our own struggles. We're drawn away by it. So when Achan was drawn away by that gold and that fancy stuff, it was his own lusts, his own desires. And God said, there is selfishness, therefore sin in your camp. And they rid it. And Joshua remembered back to what he told him in Joshua 1, stay in the book. Stay in the law. So Joshua said, get everybody together. You get everybody together. This is what a good leader does. He got them together and he read every single word of the law that Moses had spoken to them. And it wasn't just to the adults. It wasn't just to the men. It wasn't just to the soldiers. It was to all of Israel, the women, the little ones, and even the strangers who were living among them. You know what they did? They sat and they listened as Joshua read all the words of the law. God told them to be victorious, do not depart from the law. And now they were practicing that great command. Let me ask you this, do you want to be victorious? Sure we do. Then we better get in the book. If you want to be drawn away so far that you don't ever come back, then just put your Bible away. Show me someone with a weak faith. All right, let's just play for instance. For instance, show me somebody that complains that the church doesn't do enough for them all the time. So therefore, I'm not going to come. I don't agree with what they do up there, and I'm going to tell everybody about it. I'm going to blast it on social media. I'm going to do all these terrible things, but I'm not going back there. Or I'm only going to go occasionally. You show me that person, I'll show you somebody who hadn't been in the book in a long time. You show me somebody who all of a sudden lets a little thing drift them away. I'll show you somebody who's not in the book. Listen, the devil, he comes after us. Even if we're in the book, he comes after us. But you know what? Because of Romans 10:17, we've learned that we've picked up the shield of faith. And now, as he shoots these darts at us, he shoots these arrows at us, we can ward them off. Because I chose to study, not selfishness. All it takes is a few moments a day. We have a few moments a day to drink coffee. We have a few moments a day to search the internet. We have a few moments a day to look at social media. We have a few moments a day to read maybe the newspaper. I know that they're small today, but you understand the point. We've got books. We've got everything else. We better be in the book. Or selfishness will be in the camp. Secondly, this morning, do I want to rid my life of selfishness? Do I want to rid the church of selfishness? If I have selfishness, do I want to get rid of it? We don't want to get rid of you. We want to get rid of selfishness. I need to do this. Seek God's guidance. Communication is important. I would even say communication is vital. I've used this so many times in the past, but if I went home today, talked ugly to my wife, and I did it tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the rest of my life, first of all, I don't know how long we're going to have on those days, right? But my marriage is going to crumble, okay? That's one way, right? But if I go home today and don't say anything to my wife, for the rest of our time, my marriage is going to crumble. So see, communication is not just not saying bad things. It's communicating and doing it the right way. It's listening. It's building intimacy. It's building a relationship that cannot be broken. And yes, even as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be intimate with one another. It is not a bad word. Intimacy means extreme closeness. We need to have that closeness with one another. But more importantly than all of that, we need to have that intimacy with our Heavenly Father. If we do not communicate, if we do not pray to the Father, then our relationship will suffer and selfishness will creep in. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, please. I know I'm in the Old Testament a lot today, but there are just so many rich things that we can learn from in this Old Testament book. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 1 through 12 now, a little longer reading, so stick with me, but you're going to love this. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, I should have chose Jehoshaphat, kids, as one of your words. That's just a fun one to write down, isn't it? Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now, let me pause for a moment. Jehoshaphat's a man of authority, right? He's a man of power. He's a man on the throne. He's a man that is people are looking to. But guess what? Even those in authority and power and with strength and in great positions get afraid. And Jehoshaphat was scared because there's this great multitude coming towards him. And here's what he said, or here's what happened. He set himself to seek the Lord. I love that, but we'll come back to it. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before the temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O Lord God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. To me, one of the most powerful prayers in all the Old and New Testament. He acknowledged all God does. He acknowledged all God had done. And then he acknowledged what God could and would do. Jehoshaphat taught us something in this very important prayer. He taught us to seek the Lord. Even though he was afraid, he didn't let selfishness, he didn't let sin, he didn't let fear conquer him. He sought the Lord. He prayed to God. Today, is financial problems burdening you down? Seek the Lord. Are we having marital issues today? Seek the Lord. Are we having problems at work? Are we having problems at school? Seek the Lord. Does it feel like the world is caving in on us? Seek the Lord. I spoke a few weeks ago about not looking in, not looking out, but looking up. You see, it's about seeking God's guidance. When I take on this burden, and folks, I take on too many burdens too, just like us all. We try to think, hey, I can handle this, we can do this, but then it crumbles us at our knees. Moab is coming. The enemy is coming. The best thing we can do is seek God's guidance. Seek God's wisdom. Because then you're saying, none of self and all of thee. You see, I don't want myself to be able to do this. I want it to be God. One of the greatest gifts God's given us, an open form of communication to Him through prayer. He wants us to cast our burdens and desires upon Him. He will listen. He will answer and do what He knows best. We've got to get rid of selfishness today by casting it all on God. The next point, we need to smile like we are alive. Smile like we are alive. What is simple to do, costs nothing, but is very valuable. A smile. Now, smiling is easy. And we need to practice it. What does it have to do with selfishness? Well, I believe smiling, listen, we can all laugh every now and again, smile every now and again, and be happy every now and again. But as long as I take on sin, and as long as I do it selfishly, I'll get it out in a minute. I got a lot of S's in this sermon. As long as I do it selfishly, then the bottom line is this. I don't have true joy. True joy only comes from Jesus Christ. True joy produces a smile that the devil can't take off. It produces a true excitement for Jesus Christ that no one can put on us. He will never be able to it out. As long as we have Jesus Christ. You see, when we were lost and dead in our own sins, Christ still came and died to redeem us back. Now we're saved. We're alive. We've cast out sin. We've cast out selfishness. We need to be plastered on smiling, right? We need to have smiles plastered to our faces at all times because we have so much to rejoice over. Just like I talked about last week with the Ethiopian eunuch. Why did he go on his way rejoicing? Because he came in lost and now he's leaving saved. We need to ask ourselves this question. Would other people want the product our faces are advertising? I'm not talking about the whole part of it. I'm talking about this part of it. When people look at me, when they look at my face, when I react to a situation, when I do this, when I do that, and again, I'm not saying I'm perfect, folks. I'm preaching to myself. How can I sell Jesus Christ if myself is most miserable? In this picture, that is a much younger preacher. Had a lot less white hair then. But Madeline was a lot younger. No, I'm just kidding. You're not the reason I have white hair. But you see Madeline in that picture. You might not have even known that was us. You see that smile? I put that up there because of her. By the way, our own Ellen Talbot took that picture many moons ago. Why is Madeline smiling? Well, first of all, she believes her father to be the greatest man on the planet. In all reality, she probably feels safe and secure. She probably knows that as long as she's in her father's arms, she's safe. And she's going to be okay. And she's going to be taken care of. Why should we be smiling today? Because we're in the Father's arms. We're in the cleft of the rock. He took hold of our hand and we took hold of His, and there is nothing that can pluck us away as long as we hold on. Today we got a lot of reason to smile. Let's get the selfishness out. And let's get the smiles in. But there's one last point as we conclude. You want to get rid of selfishness? Then we must stay positive. Paul, in a prison, wrote to the church at Philippi. And you know what he wrote? He wrote about being positive. Now think about that. In a prison, not knowing when they're going to call his name to cut his head off, to end his life for preaching Jesus Christ. Paul was thinking of others. He was thinking of the church. He was thinking of the gospel. And I bet he wrote with a smile the book of Philippians. In fact, he said in that book, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He can't write that with a frown, can he? He also said in Philippians 1:12, for the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. Let me just tell you, Terry's in prison because I've been teaching in Jesus' name, and people have beaten me, and they're going to ultimately cut my head off. There are going to be some days when I'm not very happy. Be some days when I feel sorry for myself. Be some days when I'm mad at the world. But not Paul. He wrote a book of positivity to a church that really needed it. That's why when Seth comes up and reads to us, we understand why. He read these words in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How could Paul do it? None of self and all of Jesus. He said, I got rid of Paul. I cut Paul out and I put Jesus in. I went to the cross with Him. It's not me living any longer. It's Jesus Christ living in me. See, that's what the key to it all is, folks. Today, we've got to crucify selfishness. We've got to allow Jesus to live in us. On a side note, do you think I'd have to preach to Paul about coming to Sunday school? Do you think we'd have to preach to Paul about being back on Wednesday nights? You know what? I wouldn't have to preach that to y'all either if we were all practiced Galatians 2:20. You see, when it comes down to it, we get in our own way. Oh, Terry, I can't come to Sunday school because of XYZ. Listen. I don't know what your XYZ is. I really don't. But I know there are a lot of people that have XYZs. Terry, I can't come back on Wednesday night because of such and such. And listen, I know there's legitimate reasons. I know that. Terry, I can't get involved because of fill in the blank. I don't know what your fill in the blank is. But a lot of the times, notice I didn't say all the time, a lot of the times, we We can't. That's negative. Because we're not truly crucified with Jesus Christ. That's positive. Bring it all full circle now. Ai was victorious on that first occasion. 36 men lost their lives because somebody saw some shiny things and wanted them. Before that, Moses stood before all of Israel, all the Hebrews at that moment, and he said, choose life or choose death. When it all comes down to it, folks, it's about the person in the mirror. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Today, if you have not yet been crucified with Jesus Christ, then you are still living for self. Today it's time to nail self to the cross and let Jesus live in you. But to those of us who've done that, there are a lot of people who have decided to be Christians in name only. You see, to be a follower of Jesus Christ means I must be like the Master. Today, this question simply comes down to this. Are you name only? Or are you like the Master? Today, if you need to make things right publicly, or you need to do it in your seat, I invite you to come right now together. We stand and sing.